One of the hard things in life is being rejected by others. A man I know proposed marriage to a woman, and she said no. He proposed to another woman, and she said no. Now, rejection is an equal opportunity offender. A woman I know was dating two different men, both of whom wanted to marry her. She couldn't decide between them. Eventually, each one turned away from her and married a different woman. True stories. Being rejected because of our faith and or the moral values that God and right reason teach us has also happened to our Christian people throughout the centuries, and it still does today. You know, Catholic priests and nuns and active lay men and women, along with their archbishop, Oscar Romero, were killed for their faith and their commitment to justice in El Salvador just a few decades ago. I was in that country during the Civil War at one point and met relatives and friends of some of those who had been assassinated, and recognized that the people had great devotion to their archbishop for standing up for them, and now today the church has recognized that. Many of our people are harassed and imprisoned in places today, such as China, some parts of India, and many mostly Muslim countries. But it happens here in the United States, too. One U.S. senator questioned the fitness of a Catholic nominee for the Supreme Court because the dogma sounds loudly in you, conveniently ignoring that the radical secularism the senator represents is his own dogma. A few years ago, a Catholic priest was nominated to be the chaplain of the U.S. House of Representatives, but some members of Congress opposed the appointment because he was a celibate Catholic priest. He did receive the appointment eventually. A Catholic county councilman whom I knew back in Maryland opposed a proposed ordinance that would have required pregnancy resource centers to advertise in their centers that they did not perform or refer for abortions. Now, I know most people wouldn't expect that to be done in a pro-life pregnancy center anyway, but it's like telling a Chinese restaurant, you must put on your wall a notice that you do not serve French food and do not refer to French restaurants. The ordinance passed, and the abortion advocates organized to defeat the Catholic councilman in the next election. Eventually, a court found that ordinance was unconstitutional, and it was abrogated. In the chapters of Matthew's Gospel, before the passage we just heard, Jesus has met rejection from various persons and groups, towns where he had performed miracles but which did not accept his message, Pharisees who objected to him eating with tax collectors and sinners, scribes who denied Jesus' power to forgive, to be a God's agent in forgiving sin, neighbors who ridiculed Jesus for presuming to restore life, a little girl to life, which he promptly did. You would think that the Son of God, now appearing as man, would be well received, but often he was not. Remember, his earthly life ended on a cross. We can learn something from the way Jesus handled rejection so that we can handle it too in an appropriate way. First, Jesus says, I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Why is he praising his Father when things are not going so well? Because the Father was still at work in Jesus' ministry. I'll give the full quote. I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to little ones. The little ones were the ordinary people, the poor, the powerless, the folks who didn't count for much, according to the high and mighty, whom the scribes and Pharisees looked down on, but who resonated with Jesus' message about God's goodness and love for them. If we are open to Jesus' message and example, then we should rejoice because we belong to those little ones to whom the Father has revealed the truth about his Son. We have a great blessing there that no rejection or hardship can take away from us. Jesus then speaks about his relationship with his Heavenly Father. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. Jesus clearly claims to be on the same level with the Father. He is divine. And that's why all things can be handed over to him by the Father. As the Son of God, he is capable to bear the fullness of life and truth that is in the Father. And for our benefit, he reveals the Father's goodness to us, which he himself, his own being, reflects. If we are open to receiving it. So instead of becoming bitter because some reject him or taking revenge upon them, Jesus continues his ministry to reveal the truth of and about God to the people. And the church must continue to do that in our own day, for that is our mission. In his ministry, the Lord says to his hearers, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Now think of the yoke that a team of oxen would have over their shoulders. It keeps them together and allows the farmer to give them direction in plowing. Jesus invites his hearers, including you and me today, to take on the yoke of discipleship and to learn from him how to love God and our neighbor while remaining united among ourselves. And the Lord assures us, "My yoke is easy and my burden light." Now, in fact, following Jesus Christ as the examples I've given to you, and as you know from your own experience, is not always easy. And sometimes the burdens the Lord asks us to bear are considerable. He said on another occasion, we heard it, I think, was it last week or the week before in the gospel, "Whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." Now, what makes the Lord's yoke easy and lightens the burden are the joy that the Holy Spirit gives us for being in tune with God, shall we say. The inner peace we experience when our conscience is clear. The support our brothers and sisters in the faith often provide to us to help us carry our crosses. And the Lord's promises of forgiveness when we stumble and eternal life when we die. In these experiences, we learn that Jesus Christ is indeed meek and humble of heart, just as Zechariah, he of the first reading, prophesied of him centuries before. So how can we handle rejection, especially that which is owing to our faith and our moral values? The first thing is to praise and thank God for his blessings. For they are many, despite troubles and problems. We have many blessings from God. We need to acknowledge them and thank God for them. And secondly, we must trust the Lord and stay united with him. This means following his commandments even when it's hard. In the end, it'll prove to be the right thing. Third, we need to know that if we suffer for what is right, we are among the little ones to whom God has revealed his truth, a truth that many of the wise and learned and the high and powerful of our day do not get, but we get it. And finally, we must stand up for the truth and for our faith, as did Jesus, who did not let rejection deter him from his saving mission. We have one too, to bring the gospel of Christ to others. Now, the church as a whole must also deal with rejection. We Catholics are despised by many people, some out of ignorance, others out of malice, especially down the southern part of our state. I've talked with some of our young people down there. They get harassed sometimes in their high schools because they're Catholic. How should we respond? First, we must continue to gather to offer our prayer of praise and thanksgiving to God for his many blessings, like we're doing now. Second, we must be faithful to the truth that God has revealed to us. Let us live the truth in love, but never think that truth and love are in conflict with one another, for they are not. And third, the core of the Father's revelation to us is that Jesus Christ is the world's Lord and Savior, a truth we should proclaim out of love for other people. We have news that is too good to keep to ourselves. The world has a Savior, and it certainly needs it. We know who he is, Jesus, the carpenter from Nazareth, the one designated by the Father as his own Son and our Savior. And finally, we must insist on our right to practice our faith freely and to make our voice heard in the public square. That is a human right. It's also one enshrined in the First Amendment of our federal Constitution. What we must not do is become bitter or cynical or seek revenge on those who make themselves our enemies. That was not Jesus' way. It cannot be ours. St. Paul says in his letter to the Romans, not the part we heard today, but another place, all things work for good for those who love God. The man rejected by two women finally embraced his true calling. God wanted him to be a priest. He struggled against it, but he finally accepted it, was ordained, has been serving honorably ever since. The woman abandoned by two men because she couldn't make up her mind met a third one, and I had their wedding. Rejection isn't the end of the story. Jesus rose from the dead after they crucified him, and so will you.